Good morning, everyone. Perhaps I could cut across your conversation and draw your attention this way. As Matt's already said, my name's Andrew, and I'm one of the leaders here at Grace Church. I'm going to be sharing with you this morning from a passage found in the New Testament part of the Bible, Luke chapter 11. You might want to turn to that passage if you have a Bible with you, although we'll also put it up on the screen in just a few moments' time. Last week, as Matt has already said, we had a thrilling moment in the life of Grace Church, a moment that we've been looking forward to for 9 years. We sent out a group of 20 adults to go and be involved in establishing a new congregation in Falmouth. That's our Falmouth church planting team. And this is the vision to be a church that plants a church in Falmouth has been part of us for so long. It's become a primary focus for us over the years. And now that that's happened, and they're off, we'll pray for them a little bit later, we've got a remarkable window of opportunity open for us as a church. I don't know what happened there. It's an opportunity for us to refocus on what it means for us to be Grace Church in Truro, for Truro, and ask God, okay, what's the next thing you've got for us? It's a tremendously exciting moment for us as a church, a sense in which we draw a line, you know, not in the sense we don't have any further involvement with Falmouth, but in a sense we draw a line, and now we're entering a new chapter, an exciting new phase. What's God got next for us? And at the start of this year, Matt, Ben, and I, who are elders here at Grace Church, brought a series of statements which we've been living with for some time, which God's placed in our hearts. And we feel that these statements encapsulate a dream, something that we want to give ourselves to over the next 3 years. I'm going to run through those statements now with you. I'm not going to offer any commentary on them. I'm just going to let the statements speak for themselves. But these are the things that we feel God's been speaking to us about. As an eldership team, we brought these things to the church at the start of the year. So those of you who were around then, remember we had a week of prayer in which we were reflecting on these things and asking God to speak to us and stir our faith about these things. Here are those statements. In 3 years' time, every member of Grace Church will be able to identify how at least one area of their life has been substantially changed by the power of the gospel. In 3 years' time, every member of the church knows how to connect their friends with the gospel. Gospel means good news, the good news of Jesus. In 3 years' time, every community group, those are our midweek gatherings that Matt spoke about a few moments ago, will have multiplied at least once, and all our groups are nurturing new believers. In 3 years' time, Grace Church will have been instrumental in turning around the material prospects of dozens of people. In 3 years' time, Falmouth, the team that we sent out last Sunday, will be a thriving elder-led church. As part of our connection with the Advanced Movement of Churches, and there's information about the Advanced Movement of Churches on the back table that Matt spoke about a little bit earlier. Our partnership with King's Arms Church, Camborne, Blaze Church, Newquay, and the Falmouth Church have grown in strength. We're well on our way to planting and strengthening at least 2 more congregations in Cornwall and 1 elsewhere in the UK. We will have started building relationships with churches outside the UK, and we'll have given away tens of thousands of pounds and dozens of people to express God's generosity and advance the gospel. That is a big vision. It's a vision that's well beyond us. We can plan as much as we like, we can strategize as much as we like, we can organize till the cows come home, but actually, in and of ourselves, we're powerless to make these things happen, which is a really good place for a local church to be in. Because the whole point of the church is that this isn't merely a human institution, this is a God thing. The church has come into being as a result of the initiative of God, it's originated by God, it's sustained by the power of God. And God has given us as a local church a vision that's too big for us to handle. It's beyond us. And if we're serious about giving ourselves to being Grace Church Truro, which is about these things, looking for God to do these things among us over the next 3 years, that is going to move us above all things to pray. It's got to start with prayer. And this morning I want to speak on the subject of prayer from what is probably the most famous passage about prayer found anywhere in the Bible, Luke chapter 11. where Jesus teaches a particular form of prayer to his disciples. So let's look at that passage together. Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." That's John the Baptist being referred to there, who was Jesus' cousin. Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" That's it. We're going to look at the second half of this passage in Luke 11 next week. Let's pray now, shall we? And ask that God would help us as we engage with this and seek to apply it into our lives. Father, thank you that when you sent your son Jesus into the world, he modeled to us a life that is vibrant and dynamic and spirit-empowered, a life that is compelling and winsome. And we thank you that when we look at the life, the example of Jesus, there is so much we see in Jesus that we long to see in our own lives also. That's what the disciples saw. That's why they came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray just as you do." Father, we pray in these moments, would you make us more like Jesus? That as we reflect on the way that Jesus prayed, that we would take our lead from his example, and that we would pray as he prayed also. Would you instruct us? But more than that, would you motivate us? And would you engage with us at the level of our wills, at the level of our hearts, that we might be different for the glory of your name? Amen. Well, Tim Chester's written a lovely book about prayer called You Can Pray. And in that book, he makes two observations about this prayer. And his first observation is, this is a really short prayer. It's a short prayer given as an alternative to long prayers. Some of you may know that there are actually two places in the New Testament where we find this form of prayer, which is often called the Lord's Prayer. Here in Luke chapter 11, and also in Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is teaching about prayer there, he says this. He says to his disciples, "When you pray, don't babble like the pagans, because they think they're going to be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them," he says. And sometimes I'm in a prayer meeting and someone's praying away, and I think, "Oh, you started really well, but just stop, will you? Please just stop. You're babbling." Sometimes I'm in a prayer meeting and I'm listening to myself pray and blah, 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 babble, babble, babble. And I think, "Andrew, what are you doing? Just stop. Just stop babbling, will you?" I think that often the kinds of prayers that are most potent are those prayers that aren't particularly articulate, but they're very heartfelt, they're very genuine, they're simple, childlike prayers. When Jesus taught us to pray, he gave us a form of prayer that's short. And the second observation that Tim Chester makes about this prayer is that it's a big prayer. It's a short prayer, which is an alternative to long prayers, and it's a big prayer, which is given as an alternative to small prayers. Left to our own devices, we tend to pray small prayers. That's true for me in my life. I was reflecting, what in my life, in recent years, what's the prayer that I've prayed more than any other? And I was remembering that our boys, both of whom are still quite young, but when they were very young, were really, really, really poor sleepers. And we had 6.5 years in the Sampson household where we wouldn't get through a full night's sleep without that night being interrupted, not just once, but several times. So during those 6.5 years, we were really quite sleep-deprived, Laura and myself. So every night, before we laid our heads on the pillow, we would pray. And our prayer was, "Lord, please give us a good night's sleep." Now, that's not a bad prayer to pray. That's okay. But when your praying is all about bringing those kinds of petitions to God, that's what all of your praying is about, it has a tendency to distort your relationship with God. And you start relating to God as if he's the guarantor of your health and your security and your desires and your wants. And your prayers become me-centered rather than God-centered. our prayers become quite small. This prayer is given as an antidote to those kinds of prayers. It's a big prayer, a prayer that's not me-centered. Now, there's me in it. We'll come to that in a few moments. Not wrong for us to bring our prayers and our petitions to God for ourselves, but we don't start there. That's the point that Jesus is making in this prayer. We don't start there. This is a big prayer. It doesn't start with me. It starts with God and who God is. It's a short prayer given as an alternative to long prayers, and it's a big prayer given as an alternative to small prayers. So let's just see how big this prayer is. We're going to go through line by line, making sure we understand it. Jesus begins with the word Father. Or you may be more familiar with the form of this prayer that's found in Matthew 6. Jesus starts with the phrase, Our Father in heaven. There are many titles that are given to God in the Bible, but Father is who he is in his very essence. He is Father. So when we come to God in prayer, we don't come merely as his servants. We don't come as those trying to arm twist him to give us some fragment of blessing as if he's this mean and miserly God. We come to him as Father. If you ever asked your dad for anything, if you've ever asked your dad for anything, you know how to pray. And if you've not had a father, here's the good news. You've got a father now. A perfect father. What a privilege. What a joy that we get to relate to God as Father. And Jesus goes on, Hallowed be your name. Strange phrase. Name encapsulates all that God is. And the word hallowed means to revere or honor something as holy or sacred. So when we say hallowed be your name, it's a recognition that all that God is holy and sacred and worthy of worship. It's a reminder that when we pray, before we bring our list of petitions to God, we come as worshipers of God and just adore him for who he is and what he's done. Hallowed be your name. And included in that statement is not just an expression of worship, an outburst of praise, but also an eager desire, a longing that the name of God might be exalted across this town, across this region, across the communities of which we're a part. Lord, it is not good enough that your name is not hallowed across this community. Lord, I'm not satisfied with the status quo. You deserve all worship and all praise. My longing, my earnest desire is that people might bow the knee before you and give you the praise that's due your name. All of that's included within this statement. Hallowed be your name. Father, I worship you. That's our starting point in prayer. And then Jesus says, and then pray this, your kingdom come. Again, you may know the form of this prayer that's found in Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And that statement, your will be done on earth as in heaven, explains what it means when we pray for your kingdom to come. Lord, just as your will is done perfectly in heaven, everything in heaven is perfectly in alignment with your will. Lord, my longing is that the things on earth might be brought into alignment with your will. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. It's a reminder that God doesn't exist so that my will might be done, but I exist that I might call out to God and be involved in seeing his will being done. It's a big prayer. It's a God-centered prayer. And so praying this prayer reorientates us. It reminds us we don't live for ourselves, but we live for him and for his glory. And then there's a bit of a gear change in the prayer. Jesus says, pray this, give us each day our daily bread. After we've honored God, worshiped God, revered God, surrendered God, acknowledged our dependency on God, we bring our prayers, our requests to him. Jesus says, say it like this. Give us each day our daily bread. Daily bread means our daily needs. There are perhaps echoes in this prayer of a story that some of you may be familiar with from the Old Testament part of the Bible. It's the story of when God took his chosen people, the people of Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. They were journeying through the wilderness, and they had nothing to eat, wholly dependent on the supernatural provision of God as they were journeying through the wilderness. And so some of you may remember, during that time, God provided for them. When they got up each morning, went out of their tents, they saw, covering the ground, a bread-like substance. They didn't know what it was. So when they saw it for the first time, they asked the question, what is it? And in our Bible translations, it's called manna, which literally means, what is it? God provided manna for them in the desert, this daily bread. And he always provided enough for them for that day. And if they tried to store it up and hoard it for themselves, what they found is the following day it was all moldy and it had gone off and it wasn't good to eat. So they learned to be dependent on God from one day to the next. Some of you may also remember in the story that on the eve of the Sabbath, God would provide them with twice as much manna as they needed for that day, so they had enough manna for that day and for the Sabbath day as well. God provided for their needs on an ongoing daily basis. Perhaps this lies behind this statement, give us each day our daily bread. When we pray that prayer, it is an expression of our trust that God will provide our every need from one day to the next. And then Jesus says, pray this, forgive us our sins. It's another of our daily needs. While we come to God in confidence, because we know we can relate to him as Father, we don't come to him puffed up with pride. We recognize that we frequently fail him. We're frequently unfaithful to God. So there's a need for us to come with humility and say, God, forgive us. But then coupled with that acknowledgement, it's an acknowledgement that if we're to draw upon the forgiveness of God, we need to be very quick in order to extend that forgiveness to others when they wrong us. Because if I don't forgive that person over there when they've wronged me this amount, who am I to expect that I should be entitled to the forgiveness of God when I have wronged him this amount? If God has forgiven me the debt of my sin, then I must surely extend forgiveness to the person who's forgiven me a tiny amount compared to the enormity of my sin towards God. If I don't forgive my brother or sister, if I harbor resentment and bitterness in my heart against them for the wrong that they've done me, it acts as an impediment to the forgiveness of God flowing into my life. So Jesus says, pray this, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And then there's the line, and lead us not into temptation. This word temptation, sometimes translated trial, it's a bigger word than temptation, actually, although it includes the idea of temptation. The picture here is asking that God would preserve us from pressure that would overwhelm us and crush us. It's a prayer that God would not lead us into situations that are too great for us to bear, so that they crush us in spirit and destroy our faith. A prayer for preservation. When you pray, says Jesus, pray like this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. It's a big prayer. It's given as an antidote to small prayers. And I want to urge us to apply this in two different ways. I think there's an individual, personal application, and there's a corporate application. And coupled with those applications is a question. There's a question that helps us to engage with each application. So let's think personal application to begin with. Let me ask you this question. It's a question a friend asked me really recently. How would your life be different if I prayed this prayer every day? Just think about that. How would your life be different if you prayed like this every day? And notice, when we say prayed this prayer, we don't mean literally going through it as if it were a liturgical prayer, although you can pray it that way. But using this as a framework for our prayers. addressing God as Father, worshiping him and adoring him before we do anything else, praying for his will to be done on earth as in heaven before we bring our lists of requests, then bringing our request for his daily provision, then asking for forgiveness with the full acknowledgement that we need to be forgiving those who wrong us, and asking God not to lead us into situations that are too great for us to bear. What if you and I prayed like that? Just imagine, wouldn't your life be so very different to how it is now? That's the route to personal renewal. In the book I mentioned a little bit earlier by Tim Chester, he imagines how someone might use the Lord's Prayer to commit their day at work to God. And this is what he wrote. So this is the Lord's Prayer for someone going into work, 9 o'clock on Monday morning. Father in heaven, may my life today bring glory to your name. Give me opportunities to extend your kingdom by speaking of Christ. Help me to do your will and work with Christ as my boss. Thank you for providing my job, and please give me what I need to do it well. Forgive my sins and help me to be patient with my colleagues. Help me not be shaped by the culture at work. Amen. That's a great prayer, isn't it? It's the Lord's Prayer, practically applied. When you learn to pray like that, as I've said, it's the route to personal renewal. It helps us to adopt a fundamentally different posture, if you like, towards God. We shift from being me-centered to God-centered. We shift from greed and grasping and wanting God to, or relating to God as the guarantor of our health and our well-being and all our desires and all of our wants. And we come to him with adoration and praise and reverence and humility and an acknowledgement of our dependency upon him. That's the personal application. Then there's a corporate application, which I want to invite us to engage with by asking another question. How would our city, or how would our communities and our neighborhoods be different if we prayed this prayer every day? That's the route to social renewal. Some of you may be aware that at the moment there's a national, in fact, an international initiative that's come from the Archbishops of Canterbury and York called Thy Kingdom Come. This is the homepage of the website. And the Archbishops of Canterbury and York are urging Christians across the world to commit themselves at this particular time of the year, which within the church calendar falls between Ascension Sunday and Ascension Day rather, and Pentecost. They're urging Christians to pray the Lord's Prayer, and in particular that statement at the center of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, and to invest themselves in prayer in a new way. And I want to tell you a little bit about a conversation that's been happening among a group of churches here in Truro that ties in with this international prayer initiative, Thy Kingdom Come. At Grace Church, we're very proud of the fact that we're part of a group of churches called Churches Together in Truro. And Churches Together is a group of churches, various streams and denominations, that partner together around the gospel. We recognize that fundamentally we're all about the same thing. We want to see the good news of Jesus spread across this city and spread across our region. Our vision is that every person who lives and works in Truro and the surrounding locality might receive the gospel from someone who loves them. That's what we're all about as churches together, churches of different streams, denominations, and so on. And a few months back, some of us within Churches Together got together and we were starting to think, as leaders from various churches, what is God asking us to do? What is the next expression of our growing partnership? What should we be looking to do together? Because we can do so much more together than we can apart. And we felt that God was calling us to commit ourselves to prayer. And we felt that we should be standing before our churches, just as I'm doing now, and bringing a call to Christians across this city to commit ourselves to a year of prayer and to see this international initiative, Thy Kingdom Come, as the launch point, the moment where we kick off a year of prayer for our city and for all the people who live and work here in the surrounding locality. We're going to show a video in just a few moments, but before we get to that, you should have on your chair or near you one of these flyers. Why don't you just pick it up, have a quick look at it. This is a flyer about the Thy Kingdom Come initiative and something very practical that we're doing to get involved as Truro churches together in that global initiative. Truro Baptist Church, over several days, and from now up until Thursday of this week, are opening up their church building 24/7 for people to go in and pray for gospel advance across our city. And you can do that anytime. You can sign up, the details are on there, or you can just drop in and pray. And so that's one way in which you can begin to be earnest in following through on what I hope is a renewed desire to commit yourself to praying over the next few days. But we're going to show the video now. And this video features a number of us leaders from various churches in Truro. And this video is being shown across many, many churches in Truro. It was shown in a number of churches last Sunday. It's being shown again this Sunday. And we're seeing this video as an envisioning moment for us as Christians across Truro, as we believe God is calling us to prayer.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Putnam. I'm the chair of Churches Together in Truro. This film represents something that we are really passionate about as churches in Truro. We're all people that are really excited about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the people of this city, and we hope that you'll be excited as much as we are about it too.
So over the last couple of months as church leaders, we've been meeting together and we've been praying and we've been seeking the Lord. And we've been asking how our partnership might grow. And we feel the Lord calling us to a bold goal. And it's this, that everyone who lives and works in Truro and the surrounding locality, that they would have the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus from someone who loves them. Well, we believe Jesus is the hope for our world. We believe he is the answer to the questions people are asking, and we would love everyone to have the opportunity to hear of him. It's an enormous goal, and so we need to begin by praying together.
So we want to call Christians together for a year of focused prayer for our city. And we're going to launch this in May with two specific events. The first is a 24/7 prayer event taking place at Truro Baptist Church from the 25th of May to the 1st of June. The second event will take place on Sunday, the 28th of May, at Truro Cathedral, where we're going to gather together as Christians from across the county, responding to this call to prayer from the Archbishop of Canterbury under the banner, the heading of Thy Kingdom Come.
But our vision for prayer is even greater than that. We long to have a network of Christians meeting together for prayer where they are, where they live, where they work, at the school gate. What a thing it would be if we discovered Christian sisters and brothers that we don't even know perhaps at the moment, regardless of what church we go to, regardless of what label we wear, but we meet together to pray that God's kingdom would come in Truro.
Alongside that, we want to organise three events where we'll invite Christians from across the churches to come together. The first of these will be taking place at All Saints Hiretown on Thursday, the 6th of July at 7:30.
I'm excited that we are seeking this way and we have to do it by loving one another. That's not easy. We know that's not easy. But if we can find harmony in our diversity as churches, then we are guaranteed a result. We're going to see the power of Jesus work in our community, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
It's been said that when we work, but when we pray, God works. If we long to see an extraordinary move of God in our city, we cannot afford to neglect this, the priority of prayer. And if, like us, God is stirring something in you to be involved in what God is doing in Truro and in this locality, could I urge you, get involved. Let's pray.
We're really excited about this. Now, there's a lot of information in that video, so let me just spell out what's happening and when. We believe, as a group of churches committed to working in partnership here in Truro, God is calling us to a year of concentrated prayer. We believe that as we pray together, that God will speak to us about what the next steps for our partnership might look like. We also believe that as we come together and pray, and as Val there from the Catholic Church was saying, as we find harmony in our diversity, that something of the spiritual atmosphere in this city will change and there will be a renewed receptiveness to the gospel. We are launching that year of prayer at Grace Church today. And yes, and that launch, that push, is happening around two things. One is the 24/7 prayer, drop-in prayer that's being hosted by Truro Baptist, which is what that flyer on your chair is all about. Please take that flyer away with you, put it in your bag or your pocket. Don't leave it behind, because it's no good after this Sunday. Take it with you, put it on your fridge, use that as a provocation to pray and get involved in that. And the second part of the launch, the initial push, is happening this evening at Truro Cathedral, starting at 6:30 to 8, where Christians, not just from Truro, but from across the whole county, are going to be gathering under the banner, Thy Kingdom Come, with a particular focus on prayer. And information about that is on the back table, and there are lots of flyers about that event. We just felt we didn't want to shove masses of paper out there on chairs this morning, but you can find information about that on the back table. Then, over the next 12 months, there are going to be three flagship events, three key moments where we're gathering as Christians from across the city to pray for our city and the surrounding locality. And the first of these events is being hosted by All Saints Higher Town on the 6th of July, starting at 7:30. Please put that in your diary and make every effort to be there. But as was also said in the video, we're not just wanting to run three events over the next 12 months. What we're longing to see is a network of prayer established across this city, as Christians from across this city find one another and commit to praying regularly with one another for a workplace, for a neighborhood, for a street, for a particular business that they work in. And in order to facilitate that, there's a new website. Yikes. Sorry about the image on the front there. There's a new website for Churches Together in Truro, churchestogethertruro.co.uk. The link will be going out in the church email and on Facebook, on the church Facebook group. And in that website, there is a calendar, and you can go to that calendar at any time and find out what's happening and when. I've been reflecting personally, how can I engage in this year of prayer as an individual? I'm aware that there are a number of us, even in Grace Church, who live in the Hendra area of Truro. Wouldn't it be fantastic if at a number of points over the year we're just getting in touch with one another and committing ourselves to gathering and praying for our neighborhood and the neighborhood and our immediate neighbors? Okay, it's just one example. Or perhaps you work at the hospital and you're aware of a number of Christians who work there. It would be great if you get together just a few points in the year and commit yourselves to praying for the hospital and praying for God's kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as in heaven and in that workplace. So that's what we're wanting to see happen through this year of prayer. And as we bring ourselves to God and pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're expectant, as I said, that God is going to speak. I want to conclude by going back to Luke 11 and looking at the introductory statement. Look at what's written there by Luke, the narrator. He says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus's teaching, this Lord's Prayer, was prompted by a question from one of his disciples. And that question was prompted by Jesus's own example. Because the disciples regularly observed Jesus praying. And there must have been something about the way that Jesus prayed that made them think, we want to learn to pray like that. When you read Luke's gospel, his whole account of Jesus' life, you see that time and time again, Luke talks about Jesus' habit of prayer. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, we read, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It was his habit. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we read, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When was the last time you or I spent a whole night praying? Jesus was someone for whom prayer wasn't merely incidental, it wasn't supplemental, it was fundamental, it was indispensable. Jesus understood that prayer is to the spiritual life what breathing is to the physical life. That we're sustained by prayer. When we stop being sustained by prayer, our spiritual lives stop growing. We become weary and disillusioned, and we become thoroughly fed up and exasperated about church. And church becomes a miserable place to be. But when we're in the habit of praying, prayer is to the spiritual life what breathing is to the physical life. So when we pray, we're inhaling the goodness and the majesty of God, and we're exhaling our adoration, our expression of trust in Him. When we're in the habit of prayer, then we become alive in a new way, and God is able to work and do among us what we're powerless to do by ourselves. Jesus was a man of prayer. And as His followers, we are to follow in His footsteps and take our lead from His example. I find praying difficult. I'm not a good prayer. I want to grow. I want to do better. I find myself coming to Jesus time and time again, saying, Lord, teach me to pray. Help me to work out what it means to take this framework and make this a reality in my prayer life as an individual and at a corporate level as we gather together as God's people and we pray to Him with one voice. We're going to respond in prayer now. Perhaps the band could come and ready themselves. Let me explain how we're going to do this. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand, and then I'm going to lead us in prayer. And we're going to pray for two things. First, we're going to pray for our Falmouth church planting team that we sent out last Sunday. They are gathering for the first time on a Sunday, apart from Grace Truro. What time is it? They're going to be gathering in about an hour or so at Tony and Brenda Strickett's. A number of guests are going to be among them. A number of people who don't know Jesus are going to be with them. And we're going to pray that that is a really, really significant moment for the beginnings of that new church in Falmouth. That's the first thing we're going to do. And then we're going to pray for ourselves. And we're going to pray that God might make us a prayerful people and teach us what it means to take our lead from Jesus, the great prayer. And then after all of that, wouldn't it be great to pray the Lord's Prayer together? We'll put that up on the screen, and we're going to pray a modern rendering of the Lord's Prayer and just lift our voices as one and bring that to God. So let's stand together, shall we? Let's pray. Sometimes, you don't have to do this, but sometimes actually what we do with our bodies just helps in our engagement with God. I find it so helpful sometimes to lift my hands. You might want to do the same. Heavenly Father, we come to You. Firstly, we want that petition from one of Jesus' disciples to be on our lips. Would You teach us to pray? We don't know how to pray as we ought. None of us in this room, I guess, would say we excel in this area. of our walk with Jesus. We want to grow in prayer. Teach us to pray. And Lord Jesus, in these moments, we want to pray very specifically for our dear brothers and sisters who are part of that Falmouth church planting team. What a thrill it was for a number of us to gather last Sunday and send them out. The culmination of 9 years of praying and planning and listening to you and reflecting on what prophetic words were coming to us. And what a thrilling moment to see them sent out. And we pray for them as they gather for the first time this afternoon. They're at Tony and Brenda Strickett's, and they eat together and they share together, and they've got guests among them. We pray for increased momentum, and we pray that through that little community, there might be many who receive Jesus, who cross the line of faith and put their trust in him. In fact, Lord, we pray, please would that happen this afternoon, right there around that dinner table. We pray for them, that you would fill them with your Spirit and that you would be at work among them in an extraordinary way, doing among them what they are powerless to do by themselves. And we pray for us as Grace Truro. Perhaps, you know, we're feeling a bit thinner. We sent out 20 adults, 20 great men and women who've been carrying significant responsibility, many of them, in church life for some time, and we miss them. We pray for us that you would excite us and thrill us about the new things that you have for us as a local church. Would you excite us about the new thing that you're wanting to do in Truro? As we get together with our brothers and sisters in Truro, as we commit ourselves to this year of prayer, Lord, I pray that you'd make us wholehearted, you'd make us intentional, that we would want to give ourselves to this, recognizing that if we're to see an extraordinary move of God in our city, which is what we long for, then we cannot neglect the priority of prayer. Make us a prayerful people and teach us what it means for that petition to be continuing on our lips and blazing within our hearts. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Lord, we want to be men and women who are all about that. So let's pray together. Let's pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let's remain standing, shall we? Let's bring our praise and our adoration to Jesus.